A recent report revealed that most referral fees paid between lawyers will be under $5,000 if a recommendation to the Law Society of Upper Canada is accepted. It's a proposed sliding cap on referral fees, and our next guest says that those fees will not really do much except limit access of the public to a personal injury lawyer when they need one. Daryl Singer is a personal injury lawyer. He joins us again on the Night Side. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Barb. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So let's talk, first of all, about referral fees, what they are, how do they work?
Yeah, so referral fees are very simple. There's a lot of firms that don't do the type of work that I would do, for example, or firms that do it and for whatever reason they're too busy or they look for much larger files and they'll have smaller files where they're not set up to take those files, and they'll refer them to somebody like me. And at the end of the day, if and when I settle that case and I get a contingency fee, out of my fee, I pay them a percentage of what I earn.
Is it a courtesy or is it something that you are required to do?
Well, there's no requirement, and there's lots of arrangements where work goes back and forth where there are no referral fees. But in personal injury files, the norm has sort of evolved in Ontario that the recipients of referrals from other law firms will pay a referral fee. It doesn't affect the client at all. The contingency retainer for most lawyers is somewhere between 30 and 33%. The client doesn't eat the cost of the referral. We don't reduce the fee to the client if there's no referral fee payable. And if there is a referral fee payable, it comes out of my profit at the end of the day. It doesn't affect the client.
Okay, so how and why would this current proposed sliding cap on referral fees affect the client negatively?
Well, because it will restrict the fact that there's already a problem with lawyers taking on files as it is because of all the various legislative changes. And so it's harder and harder for the clients with smaller injuries or less injuries to find representation now. If there's no upside to other law firms referring that work, they may simply turn that work away and the client will have nowhere to go at all.
Well, I mean, you say no upside, so they're talking about capping the fees somewhere at around $5,000. What kind of referral fee would be common right now?
Well, I think it really depends on the size of the file. I mean, I pay referral fees. They range anywhere from 10% to 30%, depending on who refers me the work.
Okay, let me just make sure I'm getting this right. Is it going to hurt the client because it's not worth it for the lawyers because they can't make enough off of you?
Yes, partially that's correct.
Okay, what's the other part?
Well, the other part is that right now there is an incentive if you come to me and I decide I can't handle your file, because I can earn a referral fee, there's an incentive for me to help you find another lawyer who will take your file and who will do a competent job at that. If there's no incentive really for me to do that, I'll simply say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, and you'll be left to your own devices to find somebody else.
You know, I'm with all due respect, that I'm sure a lot of people are listening saying, well, wait a minute, how does that make sense? So for a certain amount, you're willing to help me, and otherwise, even though you know someone who can help me, you're not going to bother telling me who it is.
I don't think it's quite like that, Barb. I think it's that there's an effort that has to be made to place people with the right lawyers. And so if I've seen somebody at an I would do it anyway. I mean, that's the reality. And I do it in areas of law where I don't get referral fees. I will still make that effort. But I think that overall it will certainly change the face of the personal injury practice. And I think the real issue is it's not that this is the only thing that's going on. I think that the bigger issue is that there are larger legislative changes that are impacting the nature of the practice. And this is just sort of seen by a lot of lawyers is the Law Society kind of piling on to chip away and make it less profitable for lawyers to practice in that area. And ultimately, if there's less lawyers practicing in that area, there's less access to justice for people. And it's a problem because insurance companies routinely and almost as a knee-jerk reaction will deny any claim at all. And you will need to get a lawyer, and it will become harder and harder to get a lawyer if lawyers choose to leave this practice area.
Why would the Law Society, and why would it be in their best interest to limit the amount of money that lawyers could make?
The Law Society's concern really came about because they were concerned that there were firms that weren't actually practicing law but were essentially working as brokers. But in fact, there really weren't very many firms that were doing that. And even the firms where the Law Society thought these firms are acting as brokers, they weren't. Those firms still had a dozen or more lawyers in their own offices doing the work, but they just had such a large volume that they referred a significant amount of work out as well.
Would you say kind of a knee-jerk reaction to a media investigation?
Well, that's exactly what it was, yes.
And in terms of the accident victims and the auto insurance part of that, I know you had some thoughts on that. I may be able to get one answer and then I might have to put you on hold for a second as we're coming up
sure.
to a break. But there have been some changes to the car insurance brought in last summer. And can
yes.
you explain what it means? Lawyers will have to carry a file until it's paid out?
Well, lawyers in personal injury law always carry a file till it's paid out.
Okay.
If you have an accident and you come to me, I get paid at the end of the day if and when I settle your case or if and when I win the case in court. What's happening now is that it's harder to get paid out on files, and that means we're turning away more files. I used to take 8 out of every 10 files that came in the door. I turn away 8 out of 10 now because I simply look at those other 8 files and say, I can't make any money on them, or it will take so long to make money, 3 or 4 or 5 years rather than a year or 2 years, that it's just not profitable for me to do so.
Okay, can you hang on? I want to ask you a couple
sure.
more questions when we come back. Daryl Singer
sure.
is a personal injury lawyer. And by the way, if you have any questions for a personal injury lawyer, 416-872-1010, text us at 71010. You're listening to The Night Side. Welcome back to the show. Our guest right now is personal injury lawyer Daryl Singer. He's been on the show before. We're talking about the current proposed sliding cap on referral fees, not doing much to help the public in terms of personal injury lawyers, and also changes in car insurance that were brought in last summer mean that because lawyers will have to carry a file until it's paid out, personal injury lawyers will turn away more cases than they accept. We've got someone on the line to talk to you in 416-872-1010 if you have a question for our personal injury lawyer, Daryl Singer. Daryl, is it a situation where perhaps some lawyers look at doing less contingency and more by the hour, or is that something you can't get around?
No, so if you do personal injury work, you have to do it on contingency. But in my practice, I can tell you that over the last year, we've started to take on more and more commercial and civil litigation matters where we're paid on an hourly rate to balance out the personal injury files that are now taking longer to settle.
Why is that? With personal injury, you have to do contingency.
It's just the way it's evolved in North America. I think I don't know any lawyer in North America who's doing any volume of personal injury practice that's not on contingency. First of all, the clients don't have the ability to fund it. You can't afford to go up against an insurance company for 2 or 3 or 4 years. You just can't. And particularly where you've been injured in an accident and you're perhaps not working. So there'd be no way at all for the clients to have any access to justice to fight the insurers if the lawyers didn't do it on contingency.
416-872-1010. You can text us at 71010. Here is Abby. Hi, Abby. Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. It's long past. It's probably 3 years ago. But on my son's elementary school, they were resodding the schoolyard by the portables towards the back of the school. And I guess they resodded, but underneath the grass, it wasn't all quite level. And at one point, it was raining, and I was walking my son and my dog across the back, slipped in a hole, slipped on wet grass, ended up rolling down the hill and breaking my ankle.
Mm.
I had to be taken away in an ambulance, and probably 2.5 years later, every time it rains or it's cold out, I still have pains in my ankle. And what was really annoying to me, actually, what really kind of made me want to see something done about it, I found out that I was at least the third person that we knew of who had fallen down from basically the same thing, falling, like stepping into uneven.
Okay. So what happened?
A slip and fall. I called two lawyers that were recommended to me, and they asked me for the details on the phone, and then calls were returned by whoever assisted them, saying both said, not really a case here, sorry, and nothing ever came of it. So I wondered if that is common, if that was really the case. I found it quite negligent not to have anything taped off, signs, you know, or just simply have the place sodded correctly once the first person was injured.
What do you think about that, Daryl?
Well, you know, this story is not it's not an uncommon one, and it's unfortunate. A lot of times people are injured in these slip and fall type situations, and to the non-lawyer, you know, sort of from a moral or ethical point of view, it would seem that the fair thing would be for the what we call the occupier of that property to pay some damages. But the law has different nuances in different situations. And the legal, and the reason I suspect that this caller may have been told she didn't have a case is that just based on the facts of that case, the way the law is written, it may be that in that case, the board wasn't liable.
Well, you know, it's funny that we hear whenever people have things happen and, oh, they're going to sue. Are there more cases where people don't have a case than they realize?
Yes, that's the short answer.
That wasn't worded very well, I know, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, and I think the reality is I read a judgment recently written by a judge who said the law, you know, the application of the technicality of the law often results in an unjust result, and that is particularly true in many cases here. And I see clients all the time who come in who think, I've got this great case, and I look at the facts and I say, I'm sorry, you don't have a case. And morally, I understand why they're outraged. What do you mean I don't have a case? But the way the law is written in certain circumstances, you just don't.
What percentage of people would you say you turn away?
Well, as I said before the break, about 80% now, but that's primarily because of the changes to the legislation. But in terms of people that come in who don't have a case, maybe 25 or 30% of the people I see, people don't realize that there has to be somebody at fault. I see a lot of people who will come in who will say, well, you know, I fell down at the Scotiabank branch, for example. I want to sue Scotiabank because mm-hmm. I broke my leg. But it wasn't the bank's fault. You know, they tripped over their own 2 feet. And just because, for example, you fall and get hurt in somebody else's property doesn't mean they're responsible.
Are the laws different in the U.S.? Because it seems like people sue for anything down there.
I don't know if the laws are different. I couldn't speak to that. But what I do know is that the awards of damages are much higher in the United States. I know that if I lived in the States, I'd be much wealthier as a personal injury lawyer.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, we have a number of different lawyers who come in as guests, and it's interesting to talk to each one of them about how the type of law they practice has evolved, has changed. Has it gotten easier or more difficult? It sounds like it's gotten more difficult for personal injury lawyers.
I think that's fair to say, yes.
And so why would it have been easier before and more difficult now?
Prior to, there was a raft of legislative changes that started in 2010 and continued in 2015 and 16. And the effect of those changes, as I said earlier, is to make it more difficult for people with the moderate size case to actually successfully launch a claim. And so that's made it much harder.
And can you just expand a little bit on the auto insurance changes and how people are no longer... See, I went through this last year with a very, very minor thing, and it actually ended up being somebody trying to scam me. They backed into me on purpose.
Yes.
And they tried to do a whole, you know, at the accident, the collision reporting center, the police actually said to the guy, you know, this is, you're trying to commit insurance fraud and all that. But they said to me something about, oh, nobody is found at fault. So what are the changes that came into effect last year?
Well, in short, they reduce the amount of benefits payable to somebody who's in an accident. I mean, that's the short version of it.
Okay.
I mean, I taught a course on this that was essentially a 24-hour course as a continuing education program. So to summarize it in 30 seconds for you, it results in less money being payable to people who are injured in accidents.
And hence less money going to the personal injury lawyer. So you've got to be able to pick and choose which case you're taking on.
Yeah, and it's not so much that the smaller cases don't pay as much. The issue is that cases that used to be worth something are now not worth anything. And that's the single biggest change. And that's why so many cases are being turned away by so many lawyers now.
Now, I'm not sure if you'll know the answer to this, but one of our listeners says, this goes back to this U.S. stuff. I heard in the U.S., if someone is robbing your house and falls down your stairs, they can sue you as the homeowner. Do laws like that exist?
They do.
Here, too, or just in the U.S.?
It would turn on the specific facts of the case.
Well,
so I couldn't give you a black and white answer for that.
Well, maybe I'll ask for your reaction to the crane girl this morning, and if she had fallen, who would have been? Could she have sued?
Possibly. I know that's a lawyer's answer. I'm cautious in my answer. I don't know enough about the facts, but I could see a circumstance perhaps where there might be some liability on the crane owner. Yes.
Were you as enthralled as the rest of us watching it this morning?
I wasn't. I was actually in court fighting for somebody else.
All right, Daryl. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Barb.
Daryl Singer is a personal injury lawyer.